You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN2. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, guys.
What's up, squad?
Yo, sometimes I feel like I want to, we had a researcher around here, I'd want to find out where, like, week nine, just when you think you've, okay, I kind of got a grip on what's going on in the league, there's always one of those weeks where you're like, everything gets turned upside down. In the NFL, it's just turned upside down. You know, like you think, okay, I know this team is good, that team's not good, this team's good, that's not, and then the results come, and you're like, what happened? I thought
the Cardinals didn't have Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah,
one of those scenarios.
Yeah,
a lot of teams that wasn't supposed to win won. That's for sure.
Does that happen?
The Jacksonville Jaguars get a victory. Urban Meyer was like, "Yeah, be quiet." He went off on somebody the last 30 seconds of the game because they were trying to tell him to do, you know, they were trying to run down the clock and they were trying to tell him something. He was just like, don't touch me. You know, he was all mad and shit, but he was excited at the same time. But I know he was like, we're going to screw it up in any given moment. Then the Giants pulled one off against the Raiders.
Yes. Then Denver, the Cowboys lost, got smacked.
Then obviously the Arizona game.
Then the Rams last night with Titans.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wonder, does it happen? Is it my magic? It feels like right around now in the season every year, you get a week like that where it's like, wait, I thought we started getting a picture of what's what, and everything gets turned around.
I mean, it just might have been an abundance of teams that's like that. I mean, it just in this particular week, but every single week you get one or two.
One or two, yeah.
You know, where you're like,
I wonder where all the people that were saying Joe Burrow is going to be like the next. I mean, not saying he's not, but.
Yeah. I'm right here.
People got off that train really quick the last two games.
It's not even the Joe Burrow. It's the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to bundle, like I said. They eventually going to come back to the party because they're so far ahead of the schedule from where they should be.
Plus, you just knew the Browns were going to be good this week.
Yeah, there's better. You knew the Browns. OBJ. Take OBJ away. They're just better.
I'm just being sarcastic this morning. They got a roster. They got a roster. Then they got kind of banged up and things were out of sync. But if you look at the roster top to bottom, they're good. You know, if they're healthy, they're good.
Browns are a good football team.
Yeah.
They were a good football team before they started getting injured. Beginning of the season, they were a good team. Yeah. So if they could continue to just stay the course, they probably wind up being a good team. But I could tell you one dude, everybody be running around here talking about who's the bad man and this, that, and the other. It's one bad man in the NFL, man.
Oh, it's one bad dude.
It's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
He's the only dude. I know you love Tom Brady. I know you love Aaron Rodgers when his head is screwed on right. I get all that. Kyler Murray. But Mahomes. This dude is lit. Mahomes, I don't know what's wrong with him.
Yeah, something's going on with him.
Yeah, maybe he's not getting sleep at night or something. But that dude, Lamar Jackson, you just got to appreciate it and accept it, man. Just accept it. Just really accept it and just say, you know what? Y'all right.
Look, we have a lot to get into with Lamar a little later on. Titans beat the Rams, you know, last night. I don't know. The Titans, if you look at what they've just done the last four games, they had the worst defense and it was terrible and everything was bad. And then I'm trying to even remember. It was the Bills, Chiefs, Colts, and Rams. Like at a certain point, you talk about Lamar Jackson, Key, you got to give it up. You got to give it up. And that's without Derrick Henry.
They beat all winning teams for the most part. I mean, the Colts is a winning football team.
Divisional rival, you know.
That outside of that, the other three have convincing winning records. So it just, you got to give it up to them, but they get the best. I think this team is a team that the Titans are a team that's built on getting the right matchups. Mm-hmm. And when they get the right matchups, they take advantage of it.
Secondary.
Their defensive front comes to the party when they play offensive lines that's subpar. When you look at the way they dominated the Rams' offensive front, they just continue to push the pocket and create havoc all night long for Matthew Stafford and company.
I don't think of the Rams as having a bad offensive line, but they got manhandled.
Put it in the air.
That was the whole conversation around the Jets and a couple other games where Mike Vrabel was like, well, you're supposed to be a defensive coach. You're supposed to be a defensive genius, and that's what this team is supposed to be known for. And, I mean, over the last four games, they've showed you defensively where they are, even without Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that's what's nuts. I mean, I know a lot of it's run blocking anyway, the way we think of backs, but you take Derrick Henry away from the Titans.
Control the tempo, the timing of the game as well. Control how much your defense is actually on the field. I give him a ton of credit for that.
You got to give him a shot. Tannehill, when you have a quarterback like this and you have a minus of Derrick Henry, you got to get a quarterback a short field. You have to create havoc on the defensive side of the ball. In other words, you have to give him help. And when you give him help, you can be very successful at it because, as I've said since day one, you can win Super Bowls with a Ryan Tannehill, with a Baker Mayfield. But everything else has to go according to plan. And then that's the way you build your team. Everybody thinks that you have to have Patrick Mahomes. It makes it easier, but you don't have to have Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers to win a Super Bowl. Because as long as you're pedestrian enough and don't turn the football over, you'll win the Super Bowl.
Meantime, one of the reasons the Rams went all in to bring Stafford to L.A. was because, right, if you have Mahomes, it makes it easier, but you can still do it. They thought they could do it maybe with Jared Goff. They drafted him first overall. They got very, very close. At a certain point. They went. Listen, they got close. And by the way, it was the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever. They didn't lose by that much, but they went and got Matt Stafford and went all in to get him because they feel like an upgraded quarterback could put him over the top. He threw for 294 yards, threw two interceptions, but said this after the game about how out of sync he felt. Listen to this.
Yeah, I think I just got to get it out. You know, I mean, there were guys underneath open. You know, I was trying to probably do a little bit too much. Just got to play within the scheme, play within myself, and do that a little bit better. Felt like kind of settled in the second half. But at that point, I had done too much damage really, you know, early in that game to, you know, get us out of it. I love the way our guys fought. We were close. You know, maybe if the Higbee touchdown stands, you know, it's a different ball game there late. So I love the way our guys fight and the way they battle. I always appreciate that. But just got to be cleaner. Turnovers, penalties, all those kind of things hurt us tonight.
I mean, he's 100% right, and many players at post-game press conferences kind of say the same thing. If we did this, if we did that, we could have done this, we would have been better off doing that. So interesting, because I got a text from a friend last night, and he goes, man, do you realize that, and we're having our stats and information team dig this up, but he said that Matthew Stafford is 9-69 lifetime against winning teams. And that sounds crazy.
That sounds crazy.
But I bet you it's right.
By the way, I looked it up.
I bet you he's
I
right.
looked it up. I believe it is right because I think entering the season it was 8-67, something like that.
So he's 9-69 lifetime against winning teams.
Wait, guys.
Allegedly. We don't have all the information yet. It's still coming in hot off the press.
Jay, just wrap your mind around this for a second. 9-69 is the same thing as 1-7 every eight games, right? Because 10-70 would be 9-69 virtually the same thing.
I gave you something to talk about. See?
1-7. So every eight times you play a winning team, you win once. Now, I know he's on the Detroit Lions for a lot of his career.
Seriously, though? You've been playing like for 100 years. You can't give me more than that.
Unreal.
Maybe that's why he has a positive vibe. He's like, we're 7-2 right now. I can work out my problems as long as we have a good record.
But the whole point of that, though, Jay, is this is who he is as of now. It just seems that way.
You play for a losing franchise. It's hard for a lot of – and I understand there's a lot of onus that goes on the quarterback in order to help this team perpetuate to go to another level. But you play for a bad franchise, man. It takes a long time to figure things out.
No doubt, but I just wonder if that has something to do with the 0-3 record. In other words, like real quick, they were trying to figure out how do you predict who's going to hit clutch in the playoffs in baseball, right? Because they're tiny sample sizes in the playoffs. It's hard to tell. So they took a guy, what they figured out was if a dude hits 300, but he hits 290 against good pitching and 310 against bad pitching, that averages out to 300. versus a dude who hits 300, but he hits 200 against good pitching and feasts on the bad pitching, 400. Both of them are 300 hitters, but the dude with just a little variation between, he'll hit in the playoffs because he can hit good pitching. I wonder, and the other guy won't. I wonder if that's Stafford. If Stafford looks like this great, he's fourth quarter comeback man, he's great in this and that, when the competition isn't great. You might be right, Jay, he's on a bad team, so it's not his fault. But isn't that a question out there when you look at that record against winning
he
teams?
He ain't on a bad team now.
And they're 7-2.
And two of the best teams that they play, which is the Arizona Cardinals and now the Tennessee Titans, both of them at home, they walked away with L's and the offense looks subpar. I'm just, hey, man.
They also beat the Bucks.
As I say, I don't create the news.
And the Bucks have lost two games, too.
I just report the news. I don't create it. I just report it.
Well, let's look at the wins, Jay. You're right.
I get it. You can only play the teams in front of you. The Bears, the Colts, they beat the Bucks, they beat the Seahawks, the Giants, the Lions, the Texans.
I didn't look at the schedule. I did not look at the schedule. I just named two teams.
Let me ask you this.
Look at the schedule.
Bucks was a good win.
Yeah.
It's a good win.
So the Titans, are you guys saying the Titans are – are they? Are you guys finally going to give them their credit? Are they the real deal, Key?
But the Titans never not got any credit. I'm asking you,
are they the real deal? Are you worried more about the Titans or are you worried more about the Rams?
I'm not worried about either one of them because the Titans division is not very good.
But the Titans just have four big wins, brand names.
Stafford is 8-67 against teams that finished the season with a winning record. Not when they played, but who finished the season with a winning
same
record.
Thing.
But 8-67, I have news.
Hey, look.
That's worse than 9-69.
Same thing. Ain't no difference. 9-69, 8-67.
No, 8-67 is worse.
Gotta go to break.
It's worse.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Great question by Jay. The end of the last segment that we need to dive into now. Where exactly are, we know the Titans are pretty good. Where are they in the AFC after they just beat the Rams, after they beat the Colts, after they beat the Chiefs, after they beat the Bills, like at a certain point? Jay, I'll start with you. Where do you have the Titans in the AFC?
I mean, at this juncture, they're right. They're it.
Are they the best team in the AFC?
I mean, they're playing them and the Ravens. I mean, they're playing like the best team in the AFC. I'll give them their flowers for it. I mean, without Derrick Henry, I never thought I would say it. I didn't think they were going to come out with a victory. But they are playing like the best team in the NFC.
What's nuts key is
– I don't know if it's sustainable, though.
Yeah, if Derrick Henry –
that's what makes you always wonder about it. If Derrick Henry were healthy, I would say yes.
They got Adrian Peterson.
But that's,
AP, he had a touchdown.
But that's the thing.
Well.
What's crazy is without Derrick Henry –
leave AP alone, Allen Yates.
Without Derrick Henry, we can see they're really good because, look, they just did that to the Rams without Derrick Henry. Meaning with Derrick Henry, maybe I would think they are the best, but they're not getting Derrick Henry back. That's the problem.
Not anytime soon. They're probably 1-2 in the division. I mean, in the conference.
Who do you like with them?
The Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Bills with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that – a trio. No one's really separated themselves in the AFC.
Chiefs look terrible.
But the Chiefs going to look like that all year long and still continue to win. Like I said, the division's going to come back to them because the Raiders are going to just eventually be pedestrian. The Chargers are going to be where they're at, and they still got to play the Chiefs again. Denver's going to be where they're at. They still got to play the Chiefs twice. So when you start to look at that, it's like that part of it is going to come back to them. They just got to win their games and take care of their business. The Browns,
healthy.
Browns are good.
Healthy,
the Browns
good.
Look like that they're a good football team without distractions or whatever they, you know, when they're healthy. So
it's wide open. Though,
everybody's kind of like all together.
It's wide open.
It's what and the crazy. I know why everyone liked the Bills. They looked top to bottom really good.
Don't say
plus,
everyone.
Plus, they had the quarterback.
Me,
right?
I like the Bills.
A lot of people did.
Yeah,
because they top to bottom they're good. And they got the quarterback. You like the coach, you like this, you like that. Oh, and they got a quarterback that's not like Baker or Tannehill, a guy who has a little extra. The Ravens
but
obviously
he only has
have
a,
Lamar.
But he only has a little extra because we gave him a little extra based on last year. Prior to that, people was wondering about him up
yeah,
until
but
last year.
You even had him in that top bucket, didn't you, Josh
no,
Allen?
No, he's not in the top bucket. No, He's in a bucket, but not the top bucket.
But not in the middle bucket with everyone else.
He's kind of in the middle bucket.
No.
He's kind of in the... He's in that middle bucket because the top bucket only got four dudes.
Okay,
man.
Okay.
Three or four guys.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's in the other bucket.
I actually agree
and
with
then
Key
he kinda,
about this.
He's at the top of the bucket
yes,
kind of looking
that's
over
exactly
trying
right.
to see if he can get out of it.
Exactly.
He you know this right here, John?
Yep, yep.
He's a 6'2 person. Yes,
he doesn't have the yes. kind of, like, if you put your eyes on Justin Herbert, to me, it looks different than Josh Allen. Like, Herbert
it's the
has.
The same thing to me.
To me, Herbert has that elite, like, ooh, that just looks a little different. Josh Allen looks like the best version of the next level. But the point is, people like the Bills a lot. They like, they top to bottom, the Browns. So getting back to the point, the Bills got extra at the quarterback, the Ravens got extra. At the quarterback.
The Bills and the Ravens actually got the same guy, except one guy's a little bit better than the other
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They're the same. They're the same. They run
yeah,
the
they
same
run
stuff.
And they throw.
They,
exactly.
One dude just looked better. He just got the and the other dude is kind of like
and
a lumbering
faster.
Along.
Yeah.
They kind of do some of the same things. But yeah, they're at Bills, Ravens, Titans. They
but,
all
but wait,
kinda,
but
yeah.
I think there's a difference because the Bills and the Ravens got that extra at the quarterback. The Titans and the Browns, you look at them and you go, man, if they had an even better quarterback. But they don't. They have solid quarterbacks. They got the
but
guys they
I
got.
I don't know that Tannehill is not good.
Yeah.
I just don't think the system allows him to do some of the things because he's very athletic. He can run. He can do a whole lot of different stuff. Their style don't present itself to where you got a wow factor with him.
You're right.
It's just that that's just the
very
style.
Workmanlike,
yeah.
blue-collar like, yes.
But I think that's what stops people when you look at the Browns and the Titans. Ultimately, if I asked you guys, who's getting out of the AFC? Either one of you taking the Browns or the Titans?
I would take them.
I may.
I would take them.
I think when
I
push
may.
Comes to shove,
I,
you're going to be on the Bills
no, I would
because
take
you've been on them
I mean,
and they're
I've been
good.
On the Bills all the time. Them. I mean, yep. that offense, the way that offense played yesterday had me concerned. And yep. granted, it's against the Jags on the road. It's a team that you think you're going to dominate. I think they looked ahead of their opponent. I think the Bills will still be there at the end of the day. But, I mean, I'm just going to give credit to where credit is due. The Titans and Mike Vrabel deserve all the credit right now for what they've been able to accomplish.
I'm
going to
make a prediction now. When it comes time for the playoffs and we start saying who's going to win, who's getting out of the AFC, I'm predicting now, Jay, you're taking the Bills. Key, you're taking the Ravens. I'm not saying who
That's
I'm taking.
Fair. That's probably
I'm saying
fair.
I think the reason is when push comes to shove, and it's tough to say, and the teams are kind of evenly matched, you like extra at the quarterback. I mean, people do. It's human nature, you know? But the Titans, maybe they don't have that, but they got, like he said, he's an athletic quarterback. He's good. He's smart. He has good players around him. Like, I don't know that the Titans can't get out. Like, maybe. Derrick Henry.
No, but Derrick Henry was everything for them offensively. But when you don't have Derrick Henry, it now forces you to have to do something different from an offensive standpoint, and maybe it opens up your mind to different variations of things that you need to do, opposed to relying to just turn around and hand the ball off to one guy. Now you got to figure out how to utilize the quarterback in certain situations, get the ball to your receivers in certain situations. I don't mind them. I don't mind the Titans at all, but I'm not taking them.
But see, that's those little things like that. Like, I don't mind them. Like, that's what keeps feeding into this whole Titans mantra and mindset, right? Because you're like, I'm not sure I want to buy all their stock.
I think the defense looks so bad early that we have to get our minds around maybe that's changing, because defenses can get better. Straight talk wireless, no contract, no compromise. One coach who may be on the hot seat but was in the Super Bowl two seasons ago.
Ooh, I know who that is.
That's next on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN app, ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, no huddle time. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. The Kyler Murray-less Arizona Cardinals routed the San Francisco 49ers 31-17 yesterday. Jimmy Garoppolo, threw for 326 yards and two TDs, although the second came with the Niners already down 31-7.
I'm just laughing because I know the Red Sea is waiting to hear from Key.
How bad is this for head coach Kyle Shanahan? Here's ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody last night on SportsCenter.
Kyle Shanahan is in trouble.
Ooh.
Kyle Shanahan is in trouble.
I thought that was Monday. You're usually on First Take Monday. Yeah, I'm
just saying, like, you play against an Arizona Cardinals team without their starting quarterback, without their starting wide receiver, and you get blown out in your own house. Mm-hmm. That is not a good look. And you just expand it to a macro look at what the body of work that Kyle Shanahan has done in his time with San Francisco, there's going to be some heat on him.
Yeah, you know, it could potentially be some heat on him. There's no question about it. Damon Woody mentioned the offensive side of the ball, missing two starters. How about J.J. Watt's not even in that lineup on the defensive side for the Cardinals, and they still go into San Francisco and come up with a big victory. Jimmy Garoppolo, you mentioned, Max, 326 yards in the air and two touchdowns. So I would put this on him as much as I would the head coach at Kyle Shanahan. You should not be losing football games at a rapid rate. You look at his record, take out the Super Bowl, it is not very good. He is on a very, very short leash. May not be this year, but it certainly will start the season off hot next year.
I mean, so it's not about Jimmy G because he played decently. It's not about Trey Lance anymore. We've seen that. I mean, the injuries, people have been healthy now. So when you look at the three wins they have this year, you talk about the Lions, the Eagles, the Bears, all on the road, can't defend. We've been saying it on this show for a while now. Like, hey, what's going on? San Francisco, what's going on, Kyle Shanahan?
19-37 outside the Super Bowl season. And Key pointed out, Jay, to you and I, a couple weeks ago, I don't remember how long ago, Matt Nagy's record. He said, compare that to Kyle Shanahan's record, even with the Super Bowl season in. Yeah. Matt Nagy's a much more winning head coach than Kyle Shanahan.
He is, but what I would say about Shanahan in this situation, though, is that he is supposed to be this big-time offensive innovator, head coach, quarterback guru. Let's get Trey Lance ready to go then. Because you're getting ready to waste time. Let's get him to go.
That's where all this is heading, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That was Zubin Mehenti, your old friend, guys, here on Keyshawn J. Will and Max. Used to be Keyshawn J. Will and Zubin with Damian Woody. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills were halted yesterday by the Jags, losing by this. It was just such a high-scoring game. 9-6.
Field goals.
Both teams in single digits. Allen finished the day with 264 yards, two INTs. He was also sacked, intercepted, had a fumble recovered by Jaguars defensive end, Josh Allen. That's Josh Allen on Josh Allen crime. It's the first time in NFL history that a player has sacked a quarterback of the same name. Stats Incredible is brought to you by My Computer Career, Training for a Better Life. Here's the Bills' Josh Allen on his poor performance.
And credit to them. They came out. They wanted it more. You know, we had a lot of little things add up to big things. And I put the ball in danger too often. Bit us in the butt, played like excuse my language, but that starts with me. So I got to be better for this team.
And Josh Allen is correct. He has to be better. There's no way they're supposed to lose this football game to the Jacksonville Jaguars. But every now and then there's a game or two where you walk into the stadium and it just doesn't feel right. And I think this is one of those games
what
for
you
the
mean,
Buffalo
just
Bills.
Doesn't feel right.
They didn't get going at all. And it just was like just odd, just not.
Key, what does that feel like, though? Can you describe that? What do you say it just doesn't feel right? Because that's team-wide.
Kind of in a fog, moving slow. Everything is not up to speed. You're putting on your shoes before you put on your socks.
That's because you don't respect the team you're going to play? You can't get up for
them? Yeah, you're kind of like, hey, it's the Jags, man. Come on, man. We get ready to handle this, and you don't prepare mentally as well as you should. And before you know it, it's 6-6, and you're like, damn.
Jay, that's interesting to me. I'm sure in basketball, as I say, like in life, when you start taking little things for granted,
of course.
Right?
But, you know, watching the Bills play, and you guys know that I like the Bills, it just seems like they have a lot of issues in the red zone. Like, they always come up short in the red zone. And I don't know if they don't have that big target to go for, Key, other than Stephon Diggs, but, like, it just – something's off about that, and that's what I take away from that game for them, and it concerns me moving forward.
No doubt. Key, that's a great point. Like, they don't have – who's the big red zone target on the Bills?
Well, they like to use their tight ends in that position, which works out for them. I just think that, again, you walk into Jacksonville, it's one of those – the music probably isn't pumped in the way it should. It's just a bad situation. You don't feel good getting off the bus.
And their tight end is hurt right now, but – If they could figure that out, red zone, you're right. They don't capitalize enough. They're a really good overall team. They should never be.
But
losing
they're gonna
to the
all.
Jags.
You know, teams are gonna have one of these.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
always have
yeah.
one. Clunker.
Right. That's why people are like, can so and so go undefeated in a 17 game season? That's gonna be hard to do ever. All right. After a week filled with headlines, the Cleveland Browns went out and dominated the Cincinnati Bengals, winning 41-16. I thought Cleveland would win this game, but not 41-16. Baker threw two TD passes. Nick Chubb ran for a pair of his own. I knew Nick Chubb was going to be coming back with a vengeance. Here's the Browns quarterback on how the team overcame the adversity of the week.
Things I keep hitting on, I trust the guys in this locker room. I've said it over and over again, and I truly mean it. So when adversity hits, nobody flinched. It was a long week. I'd be lying if I said otherwise, but proud of these guys and, you know, how they were able to focus and do their jobs. It's just, we got a good group. We really do.
If Baker Mayfield can play this way the entire year, the rest of the way, you may see the Cleveland Browns in the Super Bowl. If he can play this way, the defense can play well. There's no OBJ. You don't have to worry about that. So if OBJ was the deciding factor as to why you are playing the way you play, then good. OBJ can now go on to another team and be happy and ball out, and you can ball out in Cleveland, and we don't have to deal with speculation of why OBJ's not getting the football and why you're playing poor. It's in front of us.
Yeah.
You took care of business without him in the lineup. Now let's just do it continuously.
Add mojo, you know, the two of them together, man. They didn't have chemistry.
Let's just do it. That's what it is.
I just feel like that's what – it's so funny because I knew last night after watching the game that big takeaways for certain people were going to be like, oh, Baker Mayfield looks better without OBJ. And I'm like, well, actually their defense stepped up tremendously. They got a 99-yard pick six off Burrow with the first play of the game pretty much. And Nick Chubb is the motor for this damn team,
man. Yeah, but it's all about Baker Mayfield.
It's not about Baker. And we're laughing about it. Nick Chubb is the beast on this team, two TDs.
Let's just see if they keep winning and Baker Mayfield continues to throw big-time bombs down the field now that OBJ's not in the lineup.
And also,
yesterday, let's see if he can continue to do it.
Jay, I want to introduce Jay to a concept, Key. Both things can be true at the same time. But it is true, like, and this is like the dummy sports guy take, which I have a lot of the time. Like,
really?
You know, I'm a sports fan, sports like pundit, right? So here's my big dummy sports guy take.
Let me hear it.
It's like you see the correlation. You can't always decide if it's causal or not, if it's causing it or it's just both happening, right? They didn't have chemistry, those two. It was messing team chemistry up.
Yeah.
Get rid of now. Here's the thing, though. Now the pressure's on Odell.
Let's just see.
Odell now has to choose a team where he can go and win.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, it's going to look bad.
Yeah, but they got it. But the flip side of that is they've got to keep winning.
Yep.
And Baker Mayfield's got to keep doing what he did yesterday.
Yep.
Because if he regresses and OBJ moves forward and goes to a team and all of a sudden it's a Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Chiefs are steamrolling, now what?
Yeah. Right. By the way, and you know what I'll say? Just like Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I always thought it was Belichick. Brady chose the perfect spot, loaded with weapons, left Belichick with nothing. Still in all, I'm sitting here going, well, I didn't want to be convinced, but I'm starting to think it was all Tom Brady. I can't help it. I won't be – if Odell goes somewhere and they lose, I won't be able to help it.
Plus Baker plays better when there's extra incentive for him, like the extra edge.
Whatever.
You heard it last night, right? Oh, I trust the people in my locker room. Who's not in the locker room anymore?
Whatever it is, Jay,
right.
All I'm going to say is he better keep playing the same way.
Facts, I'm on the same page.
That's all.
Yep.
Whatever it is that you needed, we've given it to you. Now let's go.
But that's what I'm saying. It's this simple for everybody, like the human psychology. Is Baker winning? Is Odell winning? That's all we're going to be asking from now on. Who's winning? And finally, the Green Bay Packers came up short against the Kansas City Chiefs, losing 13-7 in Jordan Love's first start. Love stepped in for Aaron Rodgers, who was out this week after a positive COVID-19 test. More on that in a few minutes. Love threw for 190 yards, a touchdown, an interception in the loss. Here's what ESPN Packers reporter Rob Domofsky said when asked what Jordan Love showed him in this performance.
It's a great question about what he showed me, because if this is all that they have to go on before they have to make a decision about whether he's ready to be their quarterback next year, I don't know if it is. I don't know what you do. You got to give him a little bit of a pass because it's his first time. He's playing a defense that blitzed like crazy, and Matt LaFleur told us after the game that he didn't have a very good plan for the blitz. So a little bit of that is him trying to take the heat off of his, first-time starter, but he's right. I mean, the Chiefs blitz like crazy. They sent seven on more than one occasion, and, that's just a recipe for a young quarterback to struggle.
How do you not know that Spagnuolo's going to come heavy blitzing when you didn't? You obviously didn't listen to this show at all last week as you were game planning for the Kansas City Chiefs, because I said it many times, not only on our show, but I also said it on NFL Live and on many, many shows that I was on throughout the week.
Rookie quarterback and
what
a guy who likes to blitz anyway.
I'm going to heat him up. That's what I'm going to do.
Right, of course.
Like, how do you not know that if you're Matt LaFleur? Look, here's what I would say. The transition portion of things moving on from Aaron Rodgers, not so fast. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, and he'll be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers beyond this season, in my opinion. They've got to get him up to speed and ready for the future. The future is not tomorrow. And I think everybody knows that. They don't want to say it, but it's not tomorrow. Jordan Love, look, he's the first time he ever played, hadn't played in a couple seasons, like I said, on the Autobahn. This felt like the Autobahn for him, bringing all of that pressure. That thing was going 90 miles an hour plus. I mean, he just wasn't ready.
We saw Aaron Rodgers week one, who only had 6 padded practices. Aaron Rodgers, the best to ever do it, right? And he had a bad game, you know.
That's what happens. Speaking of.
Jay, you have any?
No, I'm waiting to get to this heavier topic.
Yeah, okay, you guys go right ahead. Do your deal.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, the Packers quarterback put himself in hot water at the end of last week when addressing his vaccination status and how he handled it in August. Here was Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show on YouTube talking about how he's handled COVID protocols. Listen.
I mean, some of the rules to me are not based in science at all. They're based purely in trying to out and shame people, like needing to wear a mask at a podium when every person in the room is vaccinated and wearing a mask makes no sense to me. If you got vaccinated to protect yourself from a virus that I don't have as an unvaccinated individual, then why are you worried about anything that I can give you? And let me hit on protocols now, because that's obviously been out there as well. I have followed every single protocol to a T, minus that one I just mentioned, which makes absolutely no sense to me.
I have followed every protocol to a T, minus the ones that make no sense to me.
Right. Well, he started out by saying he's a critical thinker, so he feels that he doesn't have to take the rules wholesale. He can take them a la carte. He has the critical thinking ability to pick and choose what rules he's going to follow. Jay, Key, you know what? A lot of people who just follow, I'm not one of those people. I actually think if there are rules that make no sense, that I understand why people don't always follow them. Okay, for example, you're not supposed to cross the street on a red light. If there are no cars coming, you're going to cross the street, you know, stuff like that. So I get it. Here's my issue with Rodgers. When he said the method by which he felt he was immunized, there's weak science. And by weak science, I mean peer-reviewed, double-blind, what's the sample size, et cetera. There's not strong evidence scientifically that he is immunized. And what that tells me is this, guys. It tells me that Rodgers, by the way, a lot like Kyrie Irving to me, they have intellectual pride. It's important to them that you think that they're smart, right? Okay, but Aaron, when you then get into basically quack medicine, what you're showing me is you really don't have the critical thinking abilities to pick which and choose which rules to follow. Now, other people may say, probably correctly, that's why you can't pick and choose the rules. Everyone thinks they know best, right? But that's why there are rules in the first place. And I get it. But to me, when he gets into how he critically thinks of the science, he plays himself.
Well, if I was part of another organization, I would be livid. Because what I learned throughout that 45-minute interview with Pat McAfee was that not only did Aaron Rodgers know what he was doing, the Packers knew what Aaron Rodgers was doing, and the NFL also knew what Aaron Rodgers was doing. So now it's just not about Aaron Rodgers feeling like, hey, these rules don't make sense, so I don't have to abide by them. I'm going to do my own thing. But the Packers enabling him to do so and say, well, why, I can't force this guy to wear a mask. Well, that's your job to enforce the rules. And so I would be livid, Key, if I were part of another organization and we were abiding by the rules and I'm watching this great quarterback just saying, I don't feel like I need to do it because the rules don't make sense to me.
Well, the rules should apply to everybody. And I said it last week on our show and again on many other shows that I was on. You start with the league back in the summertime when they didn't sign off on it. And then you go to the Green Bay Packers, who knew that the league didn't sign off on it, the Green Bay Packers as well as Aaron Rodgers. So all three knew, and all three are responsible for the reckless behavior of Aaron Rodgers throughout this season. They all see it. You watch the games. You see it. All three should be held accountable if anything comes down. Hell, if the league can find itself, they should find itself. Along with Rodgers, along with the Green Bay Packers. And that's pretty much what I leave it up to. I don't really – all the other stuff is – they'll figure it out, I'm sure, as we move forward. There's other teams in the league that are livid behind what the Green Bay Packers allow to take place and happen. And they should be mad because you put a whole lot of other people at risk, including their teams and organizations, as you play against them.
There are a couple of things that kind of got me because, you know, I went through it like 4 or 5 times. My wife's like, you're watching it again? I'm like, yeah, because I actually want to hear what Aaron has to say. So right off the top, I'm not a liar. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, flat earther. I'm like, okay, right off the top, you're just attacking Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving didn't even say anything. That's interesting. MLK quotes, you know, talking about using things like woke mob, but I'm not part of either side. I'm like, man, well, why are you attacking? There are so many things
he's
that left me confusing.
He's using a lot of political and social buzzwords.
But he doesn't want it to be political. Then why are you using the social trigger words to incite that conversation to begin with? It just left me extremely baffled, kind of pondering where Aaron Rodgers is with this diatribe he went on for 45 minutes. Mm.
I would say that we are living in times that are so, as everyone says, polarized. Everything's become so politicized that something as simple as getting vaccinated, like when we were kids, measles, mumps, and rubella. You couldn't go to school in New York if you didn't have them. Everyone got them. No one, you know, polio vaccine came out. Everyone just lined up. No one made an issue. But it's become this issue. And I think a lot of people, like Aaron Rodgers, feel that it's an assault on their freedom or bodily autonomy or something like that.
There is some shaming now. There's shaming to it.
Yeah, well,
people will get shamed. We talk about it a lot in the media. I mean,
but that's partly because all the real medical experts came out and said we need to get vaccinated as quickly as possible, and that slowed it down. And so we're probably worse off than we would have been. But for people, my point is this, guys. Aaron Rodgers, fine, if you feel that way, in America, you do what you got to do. Like,
nobody's questioning that.
No one's putting a needle in Kyrie Irving, Aaron Rodgers, anyone's bodily
autonomy.
Doesn't want it there. But then you got to pay the price. And, there's a cost to that. And the thing I respect about Kyrie Irving or Kirk Cousins, or they're doing it out in the open. Look, this is what, you know, I'm willing to pay the consequence. In Kyrie's case, not play at all. Aaron Rodgers wants it both ways. He wants to not follow the rules, also not have the consequence because he was misleading about it in spite of the fact that he says he wasn't. He was.
And what's not having the consequence, Max?
Oh, well, for example, if you come to work, you have to follow certain protocols, including wear a mask at a press conference, right? I mean, that's part of it. And I understand why he didn't want to wear the mask at the press conference. There are many people who feel like, well, that's, you know, not as important for some of the reasons he mentions. But there is a
rule in place, and he should follow the rules.
Right. That's what people are mad about.
And be simple with it. And it's either, as I've said many times over, and I'll continue to say it, are you vaccinated? Yes. Are you not vaccinated? No or yes. Are you thinking about it? I don't know. I'll let you know at that point. That's it. Yeah. You don't need to all hide in the ball and playing the games. Just a yes or no. And that's simple. We can move on this. We don't have to go into all the other stuff. You just give us a yes or no answer and call it a day.
And then do what you got to do if the answer is no.
Yes. Yeah. That's it.
Last thing I'll say about it, I mean, there were a lot of things that I disagree with him about. There are also some things that I did agree with him about. So, look, this is going to be complex. He's already lost a major endorsement coming off this. This just puts a lot more pressure on Aaron Rodgers moving forward because now he's become the face of something, which will be interesting to see how he reacts.
Well, I'll say this. When he says, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, a flat earther, it may be directed at Kyrie Irving or not.
But the point is,
when he says, I think it is important that not everyone who's not vaccinated is necessarily anti-vax. They have trepidation about it. They have questions.
Yes.
I get it. And I think it is, if part of this is, hey, the idea of shaming people into doing it may not be as effective or good as having conversations about it and getting people better information. I think that's good.
There's certain things. He's like, look, I get tested every single day. You know, I come in out to get tested. Somebody comes out from a club. They're vaccinated. You can still carry it. They go inside. Like, that's valid point.
Yeah.
Valid point.
Yeah, right. I'm a critical thinker. And let me tell you, this is why I'm immunized. Aaron, let me just tell you that you're not immunized. If you think you are, you're wrong. It means you weren't lying because you believed it was true. It means that you just don't know what you're talking about.
I'm a critical thinker, too.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Much more coming up. Cowboys and Rams.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.